This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Janet Jukes and myself, Tass, and we've also got Marcus King in the studio, who's one of Joy's board directors. We are about to bring on our next guest and have a conversation with them, and then we'll come back to our studio conversation a little bit later on about what constitutes acceptable behaviour in the workplace. We're going to talk with a celebrity radio presenter who I think is on the line. Yes, she is on the line. The wonderful Dr. Sally Coburn, who is well known on 3AW as being Dr. Feelgood. Sally's a GP, a women's health advocate, and a radio presenter, and a really, really good person. Good morning to you, Sally.
Hello, Tess. You're way too kind.
Well, I'm kinder than I should be, given that you were meant to be in the studio this morning.
I am just hopeless.
What would happen if you did this at 3AW, by the way?
Probably the same as this. Still on the phone. getting there. I'm so, so sorry. I was completely distracted by Miss Marple on phone.
With was?
Miss Marple.
I don't know what to say about
Agatha,
that.
Agatha Christie. I'm right there with you, Sally. I can completely relate.
It's an excuse, not a reason, whatever.
Now, Sally, you've just celebrated 28 years on radio.
Look, it's amazing, isn't it? I started when I was four.
At four. I would have said you might have started in your negative years, actually.
Thanks, love.
that's an amazing accomplishment. How do you do it? How do you actually find content, talent, ideas, and the momentum to keep this going for so long?
Look, I actually think, Tess, that it's very much an extension of what I do in medicine. It's storytelling, it's education, and I just really enjoy, as I do in medicine, the sort of dawn of understanding on someone's face. Well, I can't see the radio. I love it, and I don't lose enthusiasm for it.
There you go. That's pretty amazing. And, of course, I've seen some of the work that you've done in the women's health advocacy space. I remember sitting around in Parliament with you many years ago around the decriminalisation of abortion.
Yeah, look, I very much believe that if we have a voice, we need to use it for those who don't have a voice. And one of the areas that was really apparent was abortion. Women didn't want to talk about it. Women didn't want to, you know, have anyone know they'd had one. And there was quite a few of us who said, right, this is time. I was chair of Family Planning Victoria at the time, and we, around the board table, all decided that it was something that family planning needed to be vocal on. And I was very proud of the achievement from a great big group of people who really tried hard. Women were going to have abortions anyway. To my mind, it was a clinical thing that they should be allowed to have a safe one.
I remember watching you sitting in the back rows of the stalls of Parliament House at 1 a.m. Yeah. You had a BlackBerry in one hand and something that looked like a Nokia brick phone in the other hand.
Could well be.
And you were working both of those like there's no tomorrow. You were shooting out emails, you were shooting out letters, you were texting. I think it might have been pre-Twitter time, actually.
It was pre-Twitter, and I'd weaned myself off social media and was feeling, you know, quite in control of my life until I discovered Twitter. But the thing that I found was that parliamentarians who were making these decisions about the law needed to be supported, and I felt it was very important, as did, again, many of the other advocates, that we were actually there in Parliament for them, to support them, because there was some pretty nasty behaviour going on, and we needed to show them that we were supporting them.
Mm.
So what do you think the key ingredient of that advocacy is?
what I think the key ingredient is, standing up and being heard. Well, it's interesting, it wasn't the first political campaign, well, when I say political, I think it's social justice campaign I'd been involved in. Probably the first one was the federal one on stem cells, and it just struck me that it was being really led by a minority loud voice, and it just seemed illogical to me that you couldn't do research on that was reasonable and safe and ethical because some group of people with a moral view thought it was wrong. And one of the things we found, and this is a key ingredient, was that scientists at that point and health professionals with regard to abortion were feeling that they were being silenced every time they stood up by the morally entitled. And I sort of thought, well, you know, it's time to tell them that you're telling the truth, you're saying what you believe in, just like the other side. Get up and say it. And I think the key ingredient is don't be afraid to speak your mind.
And how important is relationships, Sally, in terms of, you know, building relationships with the decision makers?
Oh, without a doubt, and that's what I mean. I mean, I remember saying, and I said it again during the voluntary assisted dying debate, I'm going to be there in the gallery for you to show you that you are safe to speak up. And a number of times they'd stand up and they'd actually look straight at you and they'd say later, it was so great to have you there because otherwise we were just being stared down by the other people. And I just think we need to support our decision makers. And too many people don't understand that you can put a submission into an inquiry, and we should be putting submissions into inquiries and getting involved in them.
Mm. So, Sally, what other causes are you working on at the moment? Because you've been fairly active in the voluntary assisted dying space. What's next on the horizon?
Finishing off my renovations, Beth. That's been the biggest task. That's been the most difficult. Wading through the bureaucracy of permits and council. Oh, politics has got nothing compared with renovations.
But seriously, no, do you have a set of other causes that you're engaged with?
Look, I suppose it's funny. I'm sort of between causes, but not in a big way. One that started probably 60 years ago, actually. My father was interested in the effects of lead, and we grew up opposite a lead-acid battery factory. And my dad, who died a couple of years ago, but up until then was desperately trying to get this issue closed, which he'd been working on since 1951, is the effects of lead from lead-acid battery factories in sunny Melbourne. And I want to pick that one up and run with it with regard to how the workers were treated.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So it's
not a women's health issue, which is historically what you've actually focused on.
Oh, look, you know what? I think about what are the issues that I get involved with, and they're not necessarily gender-based. They're more disadvantage-based. So, you know, I've been working a bit with some bullied medical trainees over the time, and they could be male or female. And I don't pick up issues because it's women's health or men's health or whatever. It's health that's not being dealt with properly. Oh, and of course, elder abuse is another one I'm really interested in.
So where's your interest for that come from?
I was lucky enough to MC the event that launched my aged care back in, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago. I met a man who is the deputy district attorney in San Diego, a guy called Paul Greenwood. And his whole life has been around working on elder abuse, and he told me that he had, since he'd been in this job, investigated something like, I think, 600 cases of elder abuse, including 9 murders or something along those lines.
Jeez.
That had gone previously unnoticed because they're the sorts of crimes that people may not notice because they're people who don't get noticed. And in San Diego, they came up with this great slogan called "Silence Isn't Golden," and it had a picture of an elderly person. And I said, and they said that the people who were picking up these crimes were the bank tellers because they were noticing that someone else was coming in to sign the checks. And it just sort of struck me that, you know, as a community, we can all play a role in preventing these sort of things.
Hmm. While you were chatting then, Sally, my mind went to another thing that you do quite well, which is emceeing events.
And I love doing that.
And I've seen you do that a few times now, and you've done it at events that I've organised as well, actually. And you actually have a bit of fun with that, don't you?
Look, I believe that humour is very important. The more serious the topic, the more important we need to have humour. I'm no comedian. And, in fact, some people have said to me, Don't ever try to tell jokes yourself. and I must say...
That's a bit like me, but I actually have no sense of humour at all.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Oh, there you go.
One of the most enjoyable events I did wasn't too long ago. Actually, my friend Beth Wilson tapped me on the shoulder and said, I can't do this year.
The lovely Beth. Yeah.
And it was World...
Ex-Health Services Commissioner, of course.
That's the one.
Yeah.
World AIDS Day down at the old Braille Library down in Paran. And the thing I took home from that night was the Auslan guy. The Auslan guy was interpreting for a singer. He wasn't just doing the Auslan. He was actually rocking and rolling and doing all the dance steps, you know, and Auslan as well. It was wonderful.
Anyway, sounds great.
I remember that.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Just had a question from one of our listeners, Sally, who asks, is there much elder abuse in our community?
Well, this is the unknown factor. There's an elder age discrimination commissioner, Dr. Kay Patterson, who was a former health minister, and I think they're doing research to try and find out how much there is. But it's insidious, and how do you know? Because it could be, you know, the person who's... I'm just sort of pulling this out of my hat. The son who's at home on the carer's pension, who's looking after mum and mum's out the back, they're often perfectly fabulous people, don't get me wrong, but how do you know this mum's being abused if no one else is going in there? Mm. I don't know. So, look, we don't know is the bottom line.
I thought your comment earlier on about bank tellers first detecting sort of economic abuse was an interesting insight. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, financial abuse is the one. And, of course, we've recently had a change in law. We've had the upgrading of advanced care directives and the impact on powers of attorney. And I must say, Victoria is really leading the way with our powers of attorney with this support attorney, which is a new one. So a lot of people think, oh, I just have to give over this power of attorney to someone else. But they can choose who to give it over. They don't have to give it to the one who's egging on, give it to me. Moreover, someone who has a power of attorney doesn't get to do whatever they want. The power of attorney is you do what the person who's giving you the power of attorney would want.
Mm.
And I suppose at this point I need to declare the other thing that I've done recently.
Yeah, go.
I've recently completed a Master's of Health and Medical Law.
Congratulations.
I can't be a lawyer, but I can sound like I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Look, I find it astonishing. I mean, people like yourself and Janet who, you know, have families, have responsibilities, are involved in organisations, studying at the same time. How do you fit all that in? How do you pack all that into your life?
Well, I have a very messy house. I don't know about you, Janet.
Yeah, I think the same. But I think also, you know, what's the saying, Sally? If you want something done, ask a busy person, and that's it. You just you make it work, don't you?
Yeah, my partner says
that. My motivation was that my daughter, who is a lawyer, and she works for a company that's involved with Joyn. She works for Kelly Hazel Quill, and I believe they sponsor a program on your radio station.
Yes. We like them.
We listened. She was doing her master's of law, and I said, oh, can I do a master's too? You can be my tutor. I said, oh, okay. And we graduated on the same day. It was so wonderful.
How cute's that?
Oh, so cute.
So Sally, you know, clearly this is a community-based radio station, very different to a commercial-based radio station. We'd love you to come here and spend some time with us at some point.
Oh,
so
lovely.
We will make another time for that. But
yes, and I'll come this time.
That might help. Are there any gems that you can share with us about your experience from commercial radio that we can maybe learn from here?
Can I just tell you one thing, that people seem to think that, you know, there is a difference between commercial and community radio, and yes, they have advertisers and they get a lot of money and that sort of thing. But can I tell you my experience with commercial radio? I've always had a situation where they never interfere with my editorial content. They always allow me to do what I feel is right. They don't make me have sponsors that conflict my ethics. I have all credit to 3AW especially and Fox FM before that for respecting the fact that as a medical practitioner I do have some problems with some sponsors and they've always been great. So that's one gem, which means we are like you. We're nice.
Well, the editorial interference issue is one that's enshrined in the Community Broadcasting Association's charter, really. So, I mean, nobody's going to come and tell us, Mac and I, what we can and can't talk about. I mean, lots of people would like that.
Well, it's the same for me. They say, would you have this sponsor on your show? And I have to say, no, I'll declare it if we do. But I say generally, look, I don't want it to look like an advertorial.
Yeah, of course,
and
of course. Of course. Sally, it's been delightful to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you, Tess. And I suppose I'll have to bring the hot cool sponge next time.
Yeah, well, you'll have to do more than that. maybe a couple of bottles of wine as well.
That'll do. The bubbly stuff always works well.
Good on you.
Thank you for bearing with me.
Pleasure. Dr. Sally Coburn, ACCA, Dr. Feelgood, Radio 3AW's Dr. Feelgood. Thank you for coming onto the show this morning.
Thanks, Tess.
And we look forward to chatting with you again.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.